here. We got so busy on open lines. Thank you, by the way, to everyone that joined the conversation. Great dialogue today, but we pretty much, I mean, we focused on a few different things, but Jimmy Kimmel was probably the main thing that we were following along. I had this story that I still want to just give a quick mention to before we get into our next segment. We learned yesterday that three former top ministers for former Prime Minister Justin Trudeau's cabinet are likely headed for diplomatic appointments. This is interesting because, of course, this is happening just days after we learned Chrystia Freeland is resigning from cabinet to serve as Canada's new special representative for the reconstruction of Ukraine. Whatever that is, still haven't seen a job description. But we now know that Bill Blair, who served as defense minister until earlier this year, is set to replace Ralph Goodale as high commissioner in the UK. David Lametti, the former justice minister under Trudeau and current principal secretary to Prime Minister Carney, is also being offered a diplomatic post. He is apparently being sent to New York to replace Bob Rae as ambassador to the United Nations. And former energy minister Jonathan Wilkinson, who has roots right here in Saskatchewan, has been offered a post in Brussels as ambassador to the European Union. So it's interesting to see these happen. Many are speculating it is a cleaning of house. It's a renewing of a new Liberal government. Others are saying this is just the natural progression is how things happen. These appointments happen every year, which is true. These appointments do happen on a regular basis, but interesting. Interesting timing, and we'll continue to follow those stories along. Okay, I'm excited to jump into this next segment, and we're doing this, by the way, for the better part of the next hour. So that means while we talk about cryptocurrency, we will open up the lines for you to ask questions. I've got a guest that is joining me here to help us through and navigate a topic that I don't know a lot about, cryptocurrency. I said my knowledge level, I don't even know if it's a 1 out of 10. I don't know the particulars of it. I know I've even got family members that are excited about it. They see it as a great investment. We, of course, have heard recently that in the United States, Donald Trump has really been almost becoming an ambassador for cryptocurrency. What impact has that held? My bet is crypto's not going anywhere. It's going to continue to grow. I've got a lot of questions. So I'm going to call this a master class in the basics of cryptocurrency. My expert that is joining us, Dr. Enxuan Hsiao, is an associate professor in economics at the University of Saskatchewan. His primary research interests are monetary economics, financial economics, and labor economics. And I'm very happy that he has given us the time to join us today, Dr. Enxuan Hsiao, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me here.
Great to have you. Are you sure you're ready for this? Because I am putting you through what I'm calling a master class in crypto.
I'm not really in a master class, but I just did some research about cryptocurrency and blockchain.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. So let's start off with the basic question about what is cryptocurrency? How do you define it?
So the cryptocurrency basically is a decentralized payment system that based on a blockchain. So essentially, blockchain is a public ledger system that keep the records of all the past transactions. The cryptocurrency is very different from our current payment system in the sense that they don't rely on a centralized trust party. And public ledger, everyone can access and everyone can maintain. So that's the main difference between the cryptocurrency and the current payment system like credit card, debit card, or even cash. That's because you still need banks or government involved.
Okay, that's where I was going to go, Doctor. When you talk about decentralized payment system, you're essentially saying there's no home base or home bank, correct?
No.
So when you let's go back. You use the word blockchain, and I see that a lot. Help me understand what that is. What is blockchain?
Blockchain, essentially, you can think about it's a book. that the, on each page of the book consists of all the transaction records. And so basically, you can trace back to each transaction from one account to another account. So in the cryptocurrency world, essentially, it's a one address to another address.
Okay, you've got so many questions on this. Let's talk about the different types of cryptocurrency. We hear a lot about Bitcoin. How many different types are there?
Oh, there's more than 300 different types of cryptocurrency right now. So the total market cap is very large. It's about $4 trillion U.S. dollars. And so if you just look at the Bitcoin alone, the market value is worth $2.3 trillion U.S. dollar. Compared to our Canadian GDP, it's about $2.2 trillion. So it's even bigger than our current GDP.
Wow. So Bitcoin is clearly the biggest. Is that safe to say?
Yes, that's the most dominant cryptocurrency right now.
Is cryptocurrency being used? How is it being used? Let me just ask it that way.
Okay, so as I mentioned, the original idea to have cryptocurrency is to act as the payment system. So try to replace cash or current debit card, credit card system. So since it's the debut and nowadays it can be used in many situations because of the smart contract execution. So it can use as a security trading, supply chain management, and not just the payment system per se. And since the Bitcoin is still dominant cryptocurrency, so many people may hold Bitcoin for speculation or investment purpose.
Okay. We're chatting today with Dr. Enxuan Hsiao, who is an associate professor in economics at the University of Saskatchewan. The topic is Bitcoin, and as I mentioned off the start, I'm happy to work your questions into this dialogue. I am very basic when it comes to my questions because I don't know a lot about cryptocurrency. We were chatting a little bit about Bitcoin. Of course, that's one that's the most commonly known, but as you just heard Dr. Hsiao say, there are some 300 different types of crypto. Is it used? So there's a lot of people that feel cryptocurrency is associated with crime. When you hear about scams, scammers are often asking for, instead of, it used to be they want money, then they want gift cards. Now we hear a lot of times them asking for you to do a transaction in cryptocurrency. Is there a reason why they use that platform?
Oh, yes. That's exactly because of the decentralized nature of cryptocurrency. It can keep the transaction parties anonymous, so basically can help to keep the privacy. So that's the main reason people use cryptocurrency for those underground activities, like the scam that you mentioned. And because of the nature of cryptocurrency, that's very easily to use for that purpose.
Is it safe to say, though, that because it is used for that, that's partially why people are hesitant to invest in it, because they associate it with crime?
Yes, in some degree, because of this anonymous nature. But the from a broader perspective, I think cryptocurrency can also used for the social good. For example, relative to current payment system, cryptocurrency can easily handle those small value but large volume transactions. And it's very easy to do a cross-border transfer or transaction compared to current banking system. So in terms of cost, that significantly cost effective compared to a current system.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Anshuan Chow is my guest, an associate professor in economics, University of Saskatchewan. A couple of texts are coming in, and I'm going to try and get to a few of these texts. We've got people. Actually, I've got a good one here from Lauren wanting to simply know your opinion of the benefits and the drawbacks. So we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we will get you to lay out what you see as the benefits of cryptocurrency, the drawbacks of cryptocurrency. And we'll continue our conversation from there with Dr. Anshuan Chow here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Thanks for joining us. We are chatting today with Dr. Anshuan Chow, who is an associate professor in economics at the University of Saskatchewan. And cryptocurrency is the topic that we are chatting about. Doctor, I want to get to your benefits and drawbacks. We had a texter asking for that. But before that, we were just talking about how one of the reasons many people are skeptical is you hear how often cryptocurrency is involved in whether it's illegal activity or people that are trying to scam you. I have a text here asking, how often is cryptocurrency used for money laundering?
That's a very good question. And I saw some research basically indicating that if you just look at the transaction per se, I would say some estimates is around 70 to 80%. That's for illegal underground activities. And some research basically shows that, for example, like a terrorist group, they will use Bitcoin as the payment to conduct those illegal activities.
That doesn't calm my nerves when it comes to investing in cryptocurrency. And there's a lot of people out there who are like diehard believers and investors in it. But when I hear you say things like that, Doctor, it actually scares me away even further.
Yes, but that just for transaction per se. But the majority of transaction is not for payment. It's essentially most people holding Bitcoin or the other forms of cryptocurrency is really for investment purpose.
Right.
And they trade it as a commodity or a security rather than just use cryptocurrency as a payment. Because there are some drawbacks for cryptocurrency to use as payment. So that I think that may relate to the question that your caller just mentioned, what's the benefit and the drawback of cryptocurrency. So
let's jump into that right now, Doctor. Let's start with the benefits. What would you say are the benefits of cryptocurrency?
So one benefit, as I mentioned, it can provide a higher speed than the current payment system, especially for those small value online payment. I can give you an example. Suppose I'm a broker, okay, so I try to write a blog, and so I basically publish the article, but I may just show the introduction to my followers or readers, just the introduction. But the remaining part, probably I want to charge some fees. So I want to, as a freelancer, I want to generate some income. Then maybe the fees are very small, maybe like 1 cent. Okay. And but maybe if I have 1 million followers, so that's a very good income for me. Right. But the current payment system cannot handle that. Just pay the 1 cent for this small value transaction. So that's why if you accept cryptocurrency, and that definitely have the advantage to handle those payments. But so that's one example. Plus, as I said, cryptocurrency without borders. So that makes the cross-border transaction very fast and easy. And the second advantage is compared to credit cards and debit cards nowadays, cryptocurrencies, the user basically face a very small cost compared to the current system. And the third one is privacy. So using cryptocurrency really can seal your identity, so keep your identity more private. And also, it doesn't involve a trusted central party, so that basically reduce those intermediary costs. So you don't need to have banks or other third party involved. Mm-hmm. And since cryptocurrency using blockchain technology, so blockchain essentially is the ledger system, public ledger system. Everyone can maintain it and access it. So that basically reduces a significant management cost. So you don't need to have an accountant to maintain those books. So those are the some benefits or advantage of cryptocurrency. But of course, there's many limitations. Using Bitcoin, say, as a means of payment. So the first one is cryptocurrency, typically there's no immediate final settlement. So why is that? That's because if we go to Starbucks, okay, to purchase coffee, so basically I paid a physical token, okay, either bank notes or credit card, debit card, yep. Okay? And so, and then I get a coffee immediately. But in the cryptocurrency world, okay, so essentially the payment is a digital token. So what's the digital token? Essentially it's the bit, consists of those zero ones, okay? So those bits are basically very easy to duplicate, okay? So that means that people have incentive to double spend, to repeatedly spend those bits again and again. Okay. So then how do we prevent those incentives to deter people to do double spending? Okay. So one way is to have a centralized trust party. So essentially, if you have a bank can handle all the ledgers, then that's easy. Okay. So do the debit and credit. But in the cryptocurrency world, we don't have trusted third party. Relies on the decentralized fashion. So everyone can maintain and access those ledgers. So how can we make sure, okay, those ledgers or those transactions are genuine? So that's why to deter this double spending, typically you rely on delayed settlement.
Okay, so you wouldn't be able to use it for some sort of an immediate product,
yes.
Then?
Yes. So that means once I receive the payment, then I start to deliver goods.
Okay.
Okay. So it's not a quid pro quo. So typically that involves some kinds of delay. It depends on the system design, like a Bitcoin. So every 10 minutes, okay, then the system will basically broadcast a new transaction. Yeah.
Okay.
So that means you have to wait at least 10 minutes to see the transaction being recorded.
Makes sense. I'm going to jump in, Dr. Shao. We need to take a break. I've actually got a caller on the line as well. So when we come back, we're going to take Paul's call from Regina. I've got lots of texts coming in. We're talking cryptocurrency with Dr. Enshuan Shao from the University of Saskatchewan here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. We've got a lot of great questions coming in on the text line, so I want to jump right back into our conversation on cryptocurrency this morning. Dr. Enshuan Shao is an associate professor in economics, University of Saskatchewan. Dr. Shao, before the break, I asked you, what are the benefits? What are the drawbacks? You listed as the pros or the benefits, a higher speed for a large number of transactions. You gave a great example of a paywall for a blogger, for example, or an online platform. You talked about the ability to cross borders seamlessly. You talked about a relatively small cost or fee compared to conventional banking. And you talked about privacy and the fact that it can protect your identity better in term that's crypto. Now, the drawbacks you just started getting into, you talked about there's no immediacy. So, for example, you couldn't use crypto currently to simply go and buy a coffee because there's a delay in the time that the system refreshes to reflect that you've made the purchase. Can you list a couple of other drawbacks that you see about cryptocurrency?
Yes. The second drawback, that's the double spending problem, still not off the table. So even though the system itself tried to design in a way that to eliminate the double spending problem, but this problem is not easily to go away as long as if there's some dominant player that controls many of the computational power, they can still attack the system. So it happened in many cases. And another thing is related to the cryptocurrency ecosystem per se, and like the Bitcoin heavily relies on mining to confirm those transactions, and the mining cost essentially is the social waste, and it costs a lot of electricity, energy, the resources, and so of course, in the cryptocurrency world, in our current payment system, you have some sort of consumer protection, right? So you buy something using a credit card. If you find that the product does not meet your requirement, you can always return to the merchant, or you can file a complaint to your credit card company or bank. But in the cryptocurrency world, there's no such consumer protection.
Okay.
So those are the some of the drawbacks.
Sure. Okay, we're going to get into the mining aspect in a second because I saw a couple of texts on the text line. But I want to bring Paul into the conversation. Paul from Regina, thanks for calling in and thanks for your patience. Paul, what's your question for Dr. Shao?
My question is, I've been involved in crypto platforms for probably 4.5 years, about 10 of them. Some started off really good, you make good money, some disappear, but I'm wondering when is our government going to open the door for people to invest into crypto platforms, and one of them that we're, a whole bunch of us are waiting to get our initial investments back is, I don't know if your guests might even know about it, is GSP Partners. They're operating worldwide, and they're basically forming a Lydian world where an entire world organization is captured on virtual site where everything is virtual. Your storefronts, your buildings, your businesses, and it's just such a unbelievable type of investment you can do, and the amount of profit you can make, and
right.
It could be all taxed to if the government just starts opening up their eyes to this kind of stuff. It's just
so your question, Paul, sorry, I'm just going to jump in. Yeah. Your question is about when is government regulation going to allow more of this?
Yeah.
Okay. Dr. Shao. Yeah.
So that's a very good question. So right now, at least in Canada, it's not very much regulated industry. And so in many of these countries, so always government lag behind those development. I think part of it is because of the technology innovation happened so fast, especially in the financial world. And so that's why the U.S. government passed this Genius Act that mainly talk about the stable coins. But besides that, actually there are two more acts that's already on the Senate table. One is called Gravity Act, essentially put the regulation on the market structure. So what kinds of capital requirement and how to make sure money laundering compliance, etc. So hopefully, since this new development and more and more countries will start to look at or at least oversight and regulate the industry.
Well, I've heard the industry talk about the what they call the Trump pump. So this is basically what Donald Trump has done for the crypto industry, becoming almost a bit of an ambassador. At one time, he did not like it, but now he will post commonly on Truth Social about Bitcoin, about the benefits of cryptocurrency. So I'm guessing that is probably having an effect, Doctor.
Yes, I believe so, because right now the cryptocurrency still in the early stage. So if you have more innovation, more people participate, and then it can be have a more and more applications.
Right. Okay. So, I want to jump into some questions here. So you mentioned mining, and I've got a number of questions. Don in Saskatoon, what is blockchain mining?
Yeah, that's blockchain mining. Essentially, is the way to confirm those transactions. So remember, cryptocurrency, the ledger system is decentralized. So everyone can maintain and everyone can access. Now the question is, how can the cryptocurrency system to achieve consensus? Meaning that how do I know which transaction is genuine, which book is the ledger? So there are basically two ways to achieve consensus. So one is the so-called proof of work. So that's the mining. Essentially, ask those people to solve some using their computational power to solve some problem, and a very complex problem. And whoever the first one solve has the right to maintain the record. Okay, to record the transaction into the blockchain. So, of course, because you do these validation work, and the system itself will provide reward to incentivize miners to do the right thing.
I was just going to ask, why do you have to do this? But there is some sort of an incentive to do it.
Yes. Yeah, that's the, you need the incentive. You need to provide incentive for the people to do those validation and reconcile those records.
So, boy, this is. I mean, it's you know, for people like me who are obviously very used to and comfortable the traditional sense of currency, of banking, of how money is used and how trade works. This concept is a very big departure from that, a complete 180, which I'm guessing is why a lot of people don't feel comfortable in taking this step. I want to go back to the phone line. I've got a number of people here. I'm going to go to Pete in Saskatoon. Pete, thanks for calling in. Your doctor or your question for Dr. Anshaw, please.
Yeah, my question is, I think he's doing an okay job kind of explaining the technical side of Bitcoin. I think the true innovation of Bitcoin is having a fixed supply that will never change. So
yes,
I was just wondering if you can speak a little bit on that. And I think the true like innovation of Bitcoin is that, and that's the problem that it solved, is it has a fixed supply. So when you're trying to, let's say, carry your wealth into the future, if you have two options between unlimited dollars and a fixed supply, I think that's just like to hear his comments on that.
Good. Yeah, good comment. And I'd like to hear not only comments on that, Dr. Shao, but what prevents a company like Bitcoin from creating more? We just heard Pete talk about it being a fixed supply. Your thoughts?
Yes. So basically, Bitcoin by design, the supply is the predetermined. So total circulating supply is capped at 21 million Bitcoin, and to discover more, the path toward this 21 million is predetermined in the sense that every time you mine, you get the Bitcoin reward, so the system will generate new Bitcoin. So in that sense, so in terms of our traditional, compared to our traditional monetary policy, so essentially there's no intervention. So the money supply is fixed. So in that sense, and so as the, whether that's the innovation or not, that's of course that's debatable. But the thing is that many people will think that that's a good thing. That's because you don't need a human to intervene the money supply, because policymakers sometimes, because of the information limitation, they may make some mistakes. Just what we experienced, that it is high the inflation era, right? So so that's why the in the Bitcoin, so have a fixed money supply, essentially that's a desirable feature, okay? And but of course, there's also some caveat behind that. Since you don't have monetary authority, okay, to rely on, so that means in terms of the price itself, okay, so Bitcoin essentially is a pure fiat, okay? Intrinsically, it has no value. So it's not backed by anything. Unlike the current money, traditional money system, so the government money typically is backed by government asset like a bond, so basically the government can or the central bank can play as the anchor to stabilize the monetary price. But in the cryptocurrency world, there's no such authority, okay, to step in to basically stabilize the price. So that's why the price of cryptocurrency very, very volatile. So it's a completely belief-driven. If you believe it has a value, it does have value. If everyone believes it has no value, it just ceases to exist.
Dr. Enxuan Chao is my guest. I hope there's not going to be a test at the end of this. This is clearly one of those topics that you need to, the people that are invested in this and the people that understand, and Pete, our last caller, I'm guessing, could probably do a full hour talk on this, because you spend, it's like anything, you spend the time to get to know the topic, to understand it, that's why you're attracted and you want to invest in it. I think we better take another break. We're getting close to the end of our segment, and I still want to know, for beginners, for people that are starting, what are some good starting points, Dr. Chao? That's what we're going to ask you when we come back here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. We are wrapping up our conversation with Dr. Enxuan Chao, who is an economics professor, University of Saskatchewan. We've been chatting about cryptocurrency, Bitcoin investments. Before we let you go, Doctor, if there are people listening that have not ventured into cryptocurrency, don't know much about it, where do I start? Do I pick up the Crypto for Dummies book? I know you teach classes on it, but yes. Where do you suggest people start?
Oh, definitely. And you can always try to read some books. There are many books out there to talk about the basics of cryptocurrency. And but of course, if you want to invest, and there's always different ways to invest, like if you usually trade the stocks and mutual funds or ETF, there's ETF, different kinds of ETF basically help you to expose those cryptocurrencies. And nowadays, there's some new financial development and cryptocurrency and equity world, so-called digital asset treasuries. like MicroStrategy, like BitMine, those new companies that they try to basically hold cryptocurrency assets and issue equities. So that's another way to invest, because compared to those direct trading with cryptocurrencies, those companies, they active manage. In the sense that they may use those capitals to invest in the cryptocurrency ecosystem as well.
Okay. Well, this has been a great chat. We're out of time, Dr. Shao, but thank you so much for being here this morning. Thanks for the conversation on at least an introduction to cryptocurrency. I'm sure we'll be having more as we go forward. Dr. Shao, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.